Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow, thank you so much, Pastor Brian. And wow, what a beautiful season this is. Merry, merry, merry Christmas to each and every one of you that is joining in right now, wherever you are, online, on air. You are so welcome. Merry Christmas. Now, like Pastor Brian had said, my name is Remy Muonge, and I am one of the pastors here at Wetoto Church. And I serve at Wetoto Church in Tinda together with my beautiful wife, Joanna. What an amazing privilege it is for me to be sharing from God's Word. God's Word is life-changing. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this beautiful light. The light has dawned. That is the title of our sermon series for this season. And you know, a light has dawned. We pick it up from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, isn't that good news? Yes, it is good news, because this light is not just a thing. The light is a person, and his name is Jesus. Wow. So I am looking forward to everything that we're going to learn together today about this light, Jesus Christ. So let's dive right into the Bible. Today, we're going to read from the book of Luke, in chapter 2, from verse 22 to verse 40. Now, let's follow along together. In verse 22, we start off by seeing what Luke was writing. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. And what is that law? A pair of doves or two pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Come up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Wow. Now, what a story. You see, we see in this portion of scripture different characters, Simeon and Anna. Now, Simeon and Anna were Israelites. They had been waiting, like the scripture says, for the consolation of Israel. Why did Israel need consolation? They were living in a time of darkness. They were waiting for a savior. They were waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And friends, from what we have read in this scripture, we see that God finally came through. God fulfilled his promise. the promise was that he would send a savior, and this savior would not be only for the people of Israel, like Simeon said in that scripture. It says it was also for the Gentiles. Anyone who is not an Israelite or is not Jewish is Gentile. So I am a Gentile and I am in this promise as well. Isn't God amazing? He makes a promise and he fulfills that promise. When God says that he will do something, God fulfills his promise. It doesn't matter how long it takes. If God says he will do it, like we like to say sometimes, you can take it to the bank. God fulfills his promise, no matter how long the wait is. Now, we see from this story that God made a big promise for the salvation of all mankind, but God also made a promise to an individual. He made a promise to Simeon. He told Simeon that he would not die before seeing the Savior. Simeon in this story holds the baby and he says to the Lord, I can now go in peace, O Lord. You have fulfilled your promise. God makes a promise for all of mankind, but God is also making a promise to an individual. You know, God's promises are so beautiful. God's promises are for our good. I like what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 20. He says, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Today, I want to talk to us about God, the promise keeper. A light has dawned, God the promise keeper. God keeps his promises. You know, you may ask the question, so what are God's promises? Well, we see the big promise that he gave to the whole world that he would send a savior, but God also makes promises to individuals. We've seen from the life of Simeon. You could be, you've tuned in right now, and there's a promise that God has made to you. It could be a promise about anything. I want you to know that God will fulfill that promise. But you know, we also see the promises of God throughout the scriptures. We see the promises of God in the Bible from his word. God makes promises about never forsaking us or leaving us. God makes promises about meeting our needs. God makes promises about protecting us and keeping us safe from the enemy. God makes promises about giving us refreshing and peace in our lives. God makes promises about going ahead of us and coming up from behind us. God makes promises about giving us the things that we need. Now, it's very possible that, yes, you've read these promises. It's possible that you've probably had a promise from God for your life. But then the challenge is in the waiting. Look, I am as human as anyone else. I don't like to wait. You know, there are times I think I'm a very patient person, but I tell you what, waiting can be difficult and you can see it everywhere. We live in a world today where things happen really quick. And so the challenge in seeing the promises of God come to pass in our lives is in the waiting. You see, Simeon and Anna that we've read about were part of the children of Israel. Between the promise, Isaiah, the prophet, and the fulfillment of the promise in the time of the birth of Jesus was 700 years. Now that is a long time to wait. I want to imagine that some people had already started to give up. Some of the Israelites were probably thinking, you know what? This promise that the Lord has given is never going to come to pass. I want to imagine that some of them even turned away from God. Maybe some of them started to look for answers elsewhere. The challenge in seeing this promise come to pass is in the waiting. And so today from the scripture that we have read, I'd like for us to think about what we can do as we wait for the promises of God to pass or to come and get fulfilled. You know, it's possible that you're watching right now, you're tuned in right now, and you're wondering, how is this going to happen for me? Pastor, you don't know how long I've waited. You know, I got a doctor's report and I am sick and I've been waiting for healing. You could be a couple that's married and you've been waiting for a child. You've been believing God for a baby for such a long time, and you know, everywhere you've gone, nothing seems to be working out for you. Maybe it's a job. You've been believing God for a job, and you know that you want this job so bad. You want to feel like you have a life with purpose, and this job is going to get that sorted out for you. You have waited, and you're starting to give up. God is a promise-keeping God. Don't you give up. So the question is then, what do we do while we wait? You know, as you wait, you need to come up with a new mindset. You need to be able to get your head and your heart in a certain space as you wait for God to come through with His promises for your life. There's certain attitudes that we need to take on. You know, when Simeon and Anna were waiting for the promise of God to come to pass, they did not wait passively. They waited actively. Passively waiting is sitting back and saying, well, you know what? If it happens, it happens. But here's the thing. We see from Simeon and Anna that they waited actively, not passively. And so what do we do while we wait? I'd like to share two things that could help us change our mindset about waiting and see exactly what needs to happen while we wait. The first is that we need to remain or stay devoted to God. You need to remain devoted to God. Don't turn your eyes away from God. Keep your eyes fixed on God, the promise keeper. Don't turn your eyes anywhere else. We see from the life of Simeon and Anna that they were devoted to God. In fact, the scripture we've read says that Simeon was devout and righteous. What does it mean to be devout? Well, it means to be devoted. Simeon was devoted. Devotion is such a big thing. You know, to be devoted is to be committed to a certain cause. To be devoted is to be committed to a certain person. To be devoted is to be committed to a certain belief. Simeon was devoted to God. You know, I have some friends that are big fans of certain clubs, especially in the Premier League. These guys will swear by their teams. Doesn't matter if that team wins or loses. They will come at the end of the weekend after a loss and say, you know what? Maybe next weekend. And when they win the game that weekend, they make sure the whole city knows about it. They go screaming and doing all kinds of stuff. Why? They're devoted. You know, we see from Simeon's life that he was devoted and he was righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? Righteousness is right living before God. You know, friends, the temptation is that as we wait for God to fulfill His promises in our lives, it's very easy to turn away from God and to look for answers elsewhere. But we see from the life of Simeon that he remained righteous, right living before God. He did not turn away from God and find answers from another God. Maybe turning to witchcraft or stealing or cheating or whatever, because the darkness they were going through was very, 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 very deep. It was possible for him to turn away. That is Simeon. But we also see from the life of Anna, what did Anna do as she waited for the fulfillment of God's promise? The scripture we've read tells us that she remained praying and fasting in the temple. Every day she went to the temple to seek God. So in being devoted to God, you have to make sure that you are praying so that the promise comes to pass. You have to make sure that you are praying about that promise and you're saying, God, I'm not turning anywhere else for the fulfillment of this promise. It is you. If God said He will do it, then He will do it. And so Simeon was devout and righteous. He lived right before God. He did not look for plan B. He stuck with God. He was devoted. Anna spent time in prayer and fasting. And we see that at the end of this story, both Simeon and Anna were able to see the Savior that God had promised. Friends, let God fulfill His promise in your life. But in order for that to happen, you need to remain devoted to Him. You know what's interesting about God is the fact that, yes, He wants to meet you at your point of need. Yes, He wants that promise to come to pass in your life. But what He's really interested in the most is your heart. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. God, from the beginning in the book of Genesis, has always wanted for us to have a relationship with Him. And so our focus should be on the promise keeper, not on the promise. Yes, God wants to fulfill our promises. Yes, God wants to answer our prayers. But at the end of the day, what God is interested in is your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Your heart needs to be with Him. God is looking for the relationship between you and Him to become stronger. And so, Simeon and Anna are a great example for us of devotion to God. And in their devotion to God, they saw the promise come to pass. So many different examples that we have from the Bible. David, King David. David was the greatest king of Israel. David was a warrior and all these different things. But you see, it's so interesting that David had a promise from God. God told David that he would become the king of Israel. David was a teenager at that point. And he was even anointed to become the king of Israel. But between the time of his anointing and him sitting on the throne of Israel, he remained devoted. Someone would think that the moment David was anointed to become king, he went running to the throne. No, David was tending sheep. I want to imagine that when the prophet Samuel anointed David, next day, David went back to tending sheep. He remained devoted to what he was doing, but he kept the promise of God in his heart. And at the right time, David became the king. David, between the time that God gave him the promise and the time that he became king of Israel, even had the opportunity to kill Saul. Saul was coming after him, and David did not do it. David, because of his devotion to God and the fact that he was a man after God's own heart, said when the opportunity came for him to kill Saul, in other words, he could have shortcut the system so that he becomes king. He said, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. That man, David, was devoted to God. Listen, do you want to see the promise of God come to pass in your life? You need to be devoted to God. Now, what other attitude do we need to have? Or what do we do as we wait? We need to trust in God's timing and in His wisdom. God is amazing. This is what God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 10. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Friends, God is all-knowing. God is all-present. He is omnipresent. That means He is everywhere at the same time. God knows the past, the present, and the future at the same time. That is why we need to trust Him. God's timing is what is best. God promised Simeon that he would see the Savior. And we don't know when that promise was made to Simeon. He could have been a little boy, could have been a teenager. Simeon is now an old man. The promise finally came to pass. Simeon trusted in God's timing. Even for the birth of Jesus to happen, it happened at the right time. Everything had been put in place. All the prophecies about the birth of Jesus had been made, and then he was finally born. He was born at the right time. You see, friends, I am a father, and I have two little boys, and I've watched my boys grow. And as they've grown, you know, they've been through a stage in life where they start to say, you know what, Dad, I don't need your help anymore. I can cross the road by myself. Or I can climb up and reach this area by myself. And you know, sometimes I look at them and I'm thinking, no, you can't do that. Why? I am older than them. I have experienced things and I have seen things happen. And because I am older, more experienced, I know when they are ready to do certain things. I don't just let them run off and do whatever they want. Do you know why I don't let them do that? Because I love them. Because I know they are not yet ready. Trust God's timing, my friend. You know, you've prayed to God about something. You have believed Him for something. And it could be right now, my friend, that you haven't yet received that promise because it's not yet time. It could be that if you get it right now, you will not be ready to handle it. And so God is working on your heart and preparing you to receive that promise. God's timing is what is best. And if we don't stick to His timing, what ends up happening is that we run into trouble. And instead of receiving the promise as a blessing, it can almost become a bad thing or a curse. So trust His timing. In the Bible, we read about Sarah and Abraham. God had made a promise to them and said He would give them a child. And now they are in their old age and Abraham is old, Sarah is old. They are both thinking to themselves, there is no way we're going to be able to have this baby. And so what did Sarah come up with? She came up with a plan, said, hey, you know what? I'm too old to bear a child. How about you have this child with my servant, Hagar? And so Abraham did that, and what ended up happening is that, yes, they had a child, but that was not the child of the promise that God had made. And shortly after that, Sarah, who had come up with the idea for this child, was now unhappy that this child was born in the first place. What does that mean? That was not God's time. That was not God's plan. I have met so many people as a pastor. They'll say, you know what, Pastor? I'm getting old. The doctors are saying the clock is ticking. A time is going to come when I can't have a child. Now, since I don't have a husband yet, let me find any man to get me pregnant so I can have a child and hold a child for myself. That is not God's plan, my friend. You could have all the money to take care of that child. You could have the ability to take care of that child, but that's not God's plan. You don't want to raise that child as a single parent because that is not God's plan. Trust God's timing. God is more than able to fulfill His promise. He does not need our help. God is a promise keeper. Trust Him. His timing. Trust His wisdom. He knows what's best for us. You know, as I think about God's grand plan for all of us, in Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet Isaiah says that a light for those that have been walking in darkness has finally come. What kind of darkness was the prophet Isaiah talking about? Yes, for the children of Israel, it was a darkness of political oppression. It was a darkness of, these Romans that were making life really difficult for them. But you know what? It wasn't just a physical darkness. This darkness was a spiritual darkness. They had a temple where they went to pray, but they had not heard from God in hundreds of years. Even in their moments of prayer or devotion, for some of them, it felt like there was nothing in there. And I know that some of us could be in this place today, in your living room, in wherever it is that you have joined in from. And I'm so glad that you have, because I'd like to introduce this light to you. His name is Jesus. Maybe you've been asking God to meet you at your point of need over and over again and it hasn't happened yet. I want you to know that God is interested. Yes, God wants to see you happy, but He's most interested in your holiness, in your relationship with Him. And so before He does all these things for you, He wants you to have a relationship with Him. This light that has dawned is Jesus Christ. For you who is already a believer in Jesus, it's very easy. Recommit your life to God. like Simeon and Anna, remain devoted to God. Focus on Him. Fix your eyes on Him. For you who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I am so glad that you're going to get this opportunity. Because I'd like to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And all these things we want to see will come to pass in our lives. So, could you join me in this prayer of confession? Let's pray together. Wherever you are, let's say these words together. Lord Jesus, I thank You for coming and dying for us, for shedding Your blood and washing me clean of all my sin. Today, I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. Today, I start a whole new life. Today, I become a child of God. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Now, thank you so much for making that prayer. If you made it and made it from the bottom of your heart, you are a child of God. We'd like to hear from you. And so there's going to be some numbers on your screen. If you need prayer, you need counseling, you need to find out what this decision means, pick up your phone, call any of those numbers. There'll be someone waiting for you on the other end of the line. You could email us as well at connect@watertochurch.com and we'll get right back to you. Thank you so much for making the most important decision of your life. Now, from me to you, Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watertochurch.com. Hey!